You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I wanted to share some additional thoughts about the tragedy at Hazelwood East High School, where a child's head was beaten into concrete during a fight. Many are wondering what produced the rage inside the other child. Why did the fight escalate to such a barbaric level? Victimhood produces rage and animus. It's a cancer of the mind. Modern American culture preaches and rewards the victimhood mentality. It's a lucrative and effective tool to seize power. It's antithetical to Christ's life and tenets of Christian faith. Choosing Christ is choosing victory. We can achieve all things through Christ who strengthens us. We no longer teach that as a society. We teach victimhood and grievance. Our young people are more callous and savage than previous generations because we've convinced them they're all victims of sexism, racism, homophobia, Islamophobia, fat shaming, transphobia, poverty, pronoun injustice, you name it, etc., etc., etc. All of our young people, they're all owed a debt. Unpaid debts foment anger. I've been poor. Me and my father shared a 400-square-foot, one-bedroom apartment in the hood in 1984 and 85. While captain of my high school football team, I slept on a couch and ate a lot of canned tuna and fast food. I was never angry. In fact, I was happy. I didn't dwell much on our situation. I wasn't a victim. I had two parents who cared about me. My mother lived in Kansas City at the time. My parents had divorced. And I had a belief that things would get better. God was on my side. I say all that because poverty does not produce rage. A victim mentality, a lack of hope, the belief that the world owes you a debt, and the absence of parental love produce an endless supply of rage. The causes of what is ailing our children are obvious. It's the absence of a heavenly father and an earthly father. Those two fathers are the cure for the cancer of victimhood. It's really that simple. We should not be surprised by the savagery we're seeing from young people, whether it be school shootings or schoolyard fights. We poison the minds of children. We feed them a steady diet of video game violence, movie and TV violence, rap violence. Our schools tell them the suffering and sacrifice of our ancestors did not produce a better world, no. The errors of the past are unforgivable, and the life sacrifices to atone for those errors are woefully insufficient. Retribution, aka vengeance, and reparations, aka debt, are the only adequate solutions. The solutions are antithetical to Christianity. They lead to rage and destruction. They lead to little girls beating each other into comas and insane adults shrugging it all off as an inevitable consequence of kids fighting. Victimhood is a mental disease. All right, this edition of Tennessee Harmony is brought to you by our good friends at Good Ranchers. Fall in love with beef, chicken, and seafood all over again by subscribing at goodranchers.com. Use my promo code FEARLESS to get a free $119 heritage ham plus $25 off any box with your subscription. Today for Tennessee Harmony, we're joined by, of course, Pastor Anthony Walker and Dave Shannon. Chalk Knox is filling in for Virgil Walker. Dave's out in Idaho. Thank you so much, Dave, for jumping in. Before we get into the discussion about what I just put on the table, Anthony, if you could bless the conversation.
Father God, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for such a sobering conversation that we aim to share your word and to discuss your wisdom and your way that leads us back to you and heals our brokenness. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
So this weekend, Anthony knows that I spent reading a book that Anthony and a young woman have co-authored together about identity. Mm-hmm. And when I was thinking about Hazelwood and the events that have dominated quite a bit of the social media news, I was thinking about what's our identity. And so Anthony's book played right into my thoughts, into thinking about this issue. And I thought about the identity of victimhood. And what does that manifest in us? And it manifests a rage. If you think you've been treated unfairly and you think you're owed a debt, that's going to promote some animosity and anger that I just didn't have growing up when the culture was different. Mm-hmm. And the culture right now for all of America, and you guys are younger than me, and so tell me if I'm a old man on my lawn saying, you know, oh man, these kids are more callous than my generation. Let's just start there with my thesis that I think kids are more callous, and we've made them that way. I don't blame them. I feel like we've made them that way with the messaging of you're a victim and with the video games and the TV shows and all the culture that promotes and normalizes a level of violence. I used to get in schoolyard fights, and you'd get the advantage. You might get a lick or two in, you'd get the advantage, and then you turn to the kid and say, you want some more of this or you gonna quit? That's how fights ended.
Yeah.
It wasn't
yeah.
like until they tapped out or until they were unconscious. It's like, I got the advantage. You want some more of this?
Yeah.
Person taps out, fight's over, you made your point, everybody moves on. But just start here. Are kids more callous?
I would say so. And I think I grew up on the tail end of where society was making that turn towards desensitizing everybody to everything. I mean, if you think about the 80s, you were in college, I think, in 84.
Yeah,
I was born in 83. So I'm in that space where the TV that we watched was from years before, where you would see the Dick Van Dyke Show, they're sleeping in separate beds. Like this is, but the effort was, let's keep things holy, let's keep things kind of decent, et cetera. But then in my lifespan, we've gone from that to video games with blood. Like I remember when that turn happened, you know, and then violence in movies that's just really overt. If we keep feeding ourselves that over and over and over again, it will desensitize us and cause us to devalue things that are sacred, that are holy, that are pure. To be a decent person, like there's no shame now in being publicly profane. I think about, you know, my kids, when we go to sporting events and things, and I'm not talking about like college games or professional games, I'm talking about like high school games or middle school games. We have to be concerned about the language. And I'm just thinking, man, as a kid, there were certain words that we wouldn't consider curse words, but we wouldn't dare say around adults. But now, hey, it's fair game. Like kids are just so profane. So, and that goes with the music, the movies, the games, all of that has desensitized us. But you match with that a distancing ourselves from God. That's what, even though culture was kind of trying to hold that in, the real root, like, I don't want to do that because A, it's going to displease God. B, it's going to displease my parents, my grandparents, etc. It's going to bring shame to our family. No, I'm going to carry myself well going out. Now, we have distance from God. We have broken families. We have everybody's, you know, every man for himself, basically. So you get barbarism.
Dave, am I exaggerating here?
You guys brought me on so you can really make sure that you miss Virgil later, didn't you? That's why I'm here, to make sure that you guys really miss Virgil. Because I'm going to play somewhat the middle and devil's advocate here. So, Virgil, your seat is going to be nice and ready for you to return. Yeah, in one sense, I do believe that we've become way more calloused. And it's because, but I don't want to romanticize the past either. You guys, remember West Side Story? That was a gangster film. And these jokers are sitting here fighting in the street and stabbing and killing each other. And it was a tragedy. And it was something, and you still had the racial components going on. It just wasn't the same racial components that we see now. We still had the gangs. We had all of that. And so a lot of the things that we are tasting right now is from the gumbo that's been stewing for a long time. It's just been an acceptable gumbo, right? And so we've been smelling this fragrance coming from the kitchen for a while. And now that it's metastasized, or now that it's done and it's time to eat, we're tasting what's been going on in the kitchen for quite a while. So, yes, we haven't had this permeation of the corruption. But if you have diabetes, it's not because you ate a Snickers bar yesterday, right? If you have something in your system where you have something that's been going on for a long period of time that hasn't been dealt with, that is materialized into something. And so I think we have a tendency to say, uh-oh, Jason, I see your face. You're not holding down with me on this one.
No, Dave, what I think you may be missing is, okay, we did have West Side Story, and we did have a movie or two. But and again, you may be too young to remember this, but I'm old enough
that
I do. We had one TV in our house that had three channels.
Yes.
And so we had one record player in our house. And if your mama or daddy didn't want it played, you didn't hear it.
Yeah.
And so the delivery system of the corruption is so much more pervasive and so much more nonstop that mama and daddy struggle to get a word in edgewise. Grandmama can't get a word in edgewise. The minister can't get a word in edgewise because children are being in it. They're on their laptops, phones, earbuds plugged in with a constant steady stream of McDonald's, just a conveyor belt of junk food and Snickers bars we didn't have access to all of this filth. I had and again, my brother, personalities are different, but I can remember I had a Playboy magazine underneath my mattress. That was it. Now, these kids got everything on their cell phone, 24-hour access, and so maybe once a week or I could find the time where my parents weren't around or my mother wasn't around where I could sneak and go look at a Playboy magazine. The same one over and over. But now it's, and so that's where I disagree with you is like, I'm not romanticizing the past. This buffet that's being fed to our kids wasn't available to me. And if I wanted, me, my mother and brother, this is after when my parents are divorced, we entertained ourselves at the dining room table playing Uno, spades, and talking. And Monopoly and all of that. That ain't how the kids entertain themselves on a regular basis. I mean, because we played a game called Speed. We'd have to almost do it every night.
Yeah.
Just because that's how we... And so now that would be my pushback, Dave.
Let me say this before Dave gets in too. Dave, you've also got, and I hear your point, but you've got West Side Story, which is a gang drama told through music. I mean, they're snapping and dancing in the streets versus South Central. Like that's
to society.
Menace to society.
Yeah.
Like that's we're
right.
Going way over. And then you add to what Jason's pointing out. I mean, I hear your point. We were already gradually going away, but this is like floodgates are open. It's full bore.
Well, and that's part of my point. It's not that the floodgates aren't open, that we have full bore. It's that we can't look at where we're at now and act like we just got here out of nowhere. These things started here, and they were somewhat acceptable in one sense, or they're not as bad. I mean, even in the conversation we're having now, we're like, it's not as bad. No, compared to the parents' generation before that, it's pretty bad. Right? They could say the exact same thing but they had sins in their past that they didn't repent of that produced West Side Story. Our parents, they have sins in their past that they didn't repent of that produced Menace to Society. And so you have a flow of unrepentant sinfulness that produces a culture of victimhood. That's my point. And so we don't get here outside of some sort of everything in the world is covenantal. It's connected. And so we don't get here without it being fed to the next generation. This is why Deuteronomy 6 says, if you want covenant blessings in the future, then you're going to have to be faithful with teaching the covenant in the present. You're going to have to be faithful with repenting of the sins in the present. Otherwise, you get covenant curses. So why do we have a victimhood mentality is because we haven't been faithful prior West Side Story. And so West Side Story, we can tolerate that because there's other things that are completely eroded in society. And so now that we're here at this point, that whatever boundaries, whatever setup, whatever things that we had have been completely eroded now from society. And now we're here with no handlebars, no brakes. And everybody's wondering, how do we get here? Well, we got here because of here. West Side Story wasn't acceptable. We started, if you go back and you watch West Side Story, all the same social justice garbage is in there. All of it. It's all there. The narrative is all there. We're not experiencing something new. The narrative is built. And then it just starts to expand and mushroom out from there. And so,
Dave, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. You drink casually. I drink alcohol casually or occasionally. I drink alcohol occasionally. Alcohol's no good for you. But there is a way to, in my view, to drink responsibly. Mm-hmm. But alcohol is a poison and it's no good for you, in my view. And so I guess part of my argument is I'm saying is like West Side Story is alcohol and we used to consume it casually. Now we drink it like it's water.
That's right.
And worse than that. It's so polluted us that no matter how much water you pour in, you can't get all the poison out. Mm. And so I get your point. Because here's what I'm trying to say. Take my father, who had a very difficult history with white people. Very difficult. Experienced some things that, you know, really, really difficult. He, at no point in my life, ever allowed me to use racism as an excuse. And so when I was at Ball State and I was struggling because of my irresponsibility, but because of my immaturity, I was like, man, these coaches are tripping. They're racist. They don't like me for this, that, another. And both of my parents, when I tried to quit the football team and I wanted to blame racism, I mean, they laughed me off the phone. Like, are you kidding me, you idiot? My mother said, go live with your father. My father said, go live with your mother. I'm done with you. So that was their, you're not a victim. Are you kidding me? Do you know what I went through? And you talking about some people that's feeding you three times a day and letting you play football and got you on a college camp, you want to call and complain to me? And so I adopted my parents' mentality. Okay, well, victim stuff don't play with the Whitlock, so I gotta get on board with that. And then by the time you couple it with my grandmother in 25th Street Baptist Church and, yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus, because the Bible tells me, and all the other things that have been programmed in my mind of how I can't lose because I'm on Team Jesus. So I got fed the poison of West Side Story and some other things, Playboy Magazine, but so much other good stuff was poured into me that eventually washed out those toxins. And so there is something that we've gone from my parents' generation who insisted, no, don't come to me with this victim garbage, to me saying, don't come to me with this victim garbage, to now a culture where everybody, black, white, everybody is seeking victimhood.
Mentioned that, I was thinking about even in my upbringing without having my dad. There was a period of time I lived here in Nashville, in East Nashville, hood kind of area. And during my teenage years, you know, my mom, my stepdad, you know, they had to really kind of reel me in because not having a dad is like everybody else in the hood. And they get their, you know, allowance to do whatever. But, hey, listen. And, you know, my mom, I can remember very vividly. She says, look, you weren't responsible for your father not being here. He passed away. but you are responsible for every decision you make. And so that immediately takes away, oh, I'm a victim because I didn't have, to now I'm a victor because I can take responsibility. When I think back to the garden, and that's what we're seeing happening now in the garden, when Adam did not do what he was supposed to do and being the man that God made him to be and leading and again, sharing with Eve, no, God says that we don't do this. When he didn't do that, sin enters the world. But when sin enters, rather than Adam taking responsibility to say, hey, you know what? This was my fault. I need to take ownership of this. He starts playing the blame game. If we let the blame game continue to go on in our society, now we shift from, hey, it's your fault, to now I don't have what I think I deserve. And that's where we'll get to another verse I want to share, but that's what James is going to tell us about where our fights right. come from, which is me looking at, hey, I think I deserve what you have. I'm owed something rather than I'm responsible for something.
Dave, go ahead.
Yeah. So, Jason, you know, just to respond back to what you were saying about, hey, while you were dealing with racism, your parents weren't letting you deal with it like that and said, it's all the stuff I had to go through. You don't get to complain about stuff like that. While you were going through that, the whole cosmological structure of America was switching and changing from one world to another. So while you're going through that, before that, you have Martin Luther King coming through telling everybody that they're victims and that they need to go and appeal their case of victimhood to the state. You have that going on and transitioning a mindset and a worldview that which Anthony is talking about from that to this whole nother victimhood mentality that I believe exists in all of the isms, feminism, socialism, Marxism, ism-ism, transgenderism. You have all of these things, the anthropology, the study of men and how they think and what they are, switch from being a biblical concept, one in which we shared for a long, long time, and it's phasing out to the point where I believe right after that era until where we are now, that mindset and worldview of what of anthropology, Christian anthropology, of what a man is and how he functions and how the world works switched and changed on us to a Marxist socialistic anthropology and worldview where instead of being responsible for yourself, the thing that is the problem in the world is somebody else's issue why you don't have what you should have. And we switched in there, and some of us are in the middle of that switch. This is my point, where that old world is now gone, and this new victimhood culture is now the new anthropology and the way that we get power. And so this goes back to what Pastor Anthony was saying about James. Why is it you don't have what you want? Well, James answers that for us, which I guess we're going to talk about later. But the reason why you don't have what you want, the social justice movement, the Marxist movement changes the antithesis of the fight and says it's somebody else's reason why you don't have what it is you want. And that switch somewhere from our childhood, right in the early part of our childhood on, I say earlier than that, and on to now. And where the Bible puts the antithesis is that the conflict in the world is between the woman's seed and the serpent. That's the real antithesis. The Marxist view, the socialist view, all the isms view say, no, no, no. The real battle, the real fight is Jason Whitlock is in your way. The white man is in your way. Women are in your way. Men are in your way. And so that's where they make the fight at. So why don't you have what you want? Because the other person is in your way. Instead of having a biblical anthropology and said, no, your forefathers sinned. And now the thing that stands between you and right fellowship and the way the world's supposed to work is the fact that you obeyed the serpent and you need to be restored back to Christ. And so the thing that switched that we are wondering is like our whole anthropology of what a man is and what his problem is switched, I believe, culturally in America around that era between West Side Story and Menace to Society. The whole thing just switched. And some of us are sitting here saying, wait a second. The old world had way more of a Christian anthropology. It was just built into the cake. What happened? Well, I think the new anthropology, the Marxism, the socialism, all the ism anthropology took full root after the civil rights movement. And it anchored it in another generation that is completely different than our own.
I want to pick up there, and I want you, don't forget to make this point about James, but I do want to take care of another one of our great sponsors who is allowing us to have this conversation. You guys have heard me talk in recent months about Cardio Miracle. It supports healthy blood flow and delivers more vitamins, nutrients, and minerals to your entire body. Get started now for a healthier, happier you by visiting cardiomiracle.com/fearless. Receive 10% off your first order, 15% if you choose to subscribe and save. They also offer a 60-day, no-risk, 100% money-back guarantee. I want to add this personal note. My mother called me yesterday, and she's been on Cardio Miracle now for about 8 weeks. And she got her blood work back from her doctor. And she called me yesterday just ranting and raving. The doctor can't explain what's going on, why all of her numbers moved in the right direction. Her blood work is better than it has been in years. I don't want to oversell Cardio Miracle, but I don't think I can. This concoction or what is doing exactly what they said it would do. And it's showing up in my mother's blood work. It's showing up in my inflammation issues and other issues. I keep getting rave reviews from a lot of people that I've turned on to this. I can't give a stronger recommendation. Anyway, Cardio Miracle. Use my promo code, cardiomiracle.com/fearless.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, The Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Anthony, you wanted to get to James, or yeah. You want to pivot off of...
James chapter 4, he literally asked the question, where do fights come from? Where do fights and wars come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. James is making the very valid case here. The fight begins on the inside of me. And that inside of me war, as Dave is pointing out, is I'm looking at it, it's your problem. And it's not something that is going on within me. We have a sin issue. We have a relationship with God issue that is not settled. And if we don't win that battle between us, spirit versus flesh, when the flesh begins to take over, it becomes a pleasure center. And all the things that we chase after and that we desire, that we want, money, power, sex, drugs, all these things to chase what the flesh desires. And if you have more of that, and I think I deserve it, hey, it's on you. If you have the life that I think I deserve, I'm coming after you for that. And so that becomes that war that rages within us that now comes on the outside of us. And the only way to get that right is to go back to our Creator. Go back to God. What do you have for me? What is your plan for me? And you find out the people that take that path, they're much more peaceful, much better, it's life and life more abundantly as he promised that it would be. Doesn't mean that we don't see things that are nice and see, you know, money and all that kind of stuff. We see it, but I recognize, hey, $1 billion, that's really not going to solve the issues that I have in my life. So spending all your life chasing after money, there are wealthy people that have a whole lot of problems. So money can't be it. People who chase after all of the pleasures. You can run after it, and there are people that can do whatever that is, but they still are depressed. They still are sad. They're still overweight. They're still, I mean, all these issues, until God rectifies that within you, it won't change. And I say this as well to parents. When you have kids, the entire dynamic of your life shifts, because now you recognize the world that I'm in is fading away, and the world they're going to see, I won't get to see. And I got to prepare them for that world. My knowledge today, my everything I've learned, it'll take them so far. But what will guarantee their future is if I teach them God's word. If I give them Jesus, he'll make sure, because he is a God, not just for this time, he's a God for all times.
So I hope that I'm not distracting from the very powerful point you just made, and I hope I'm continuing it, but I want to go back to the Hazelwood fight. That's my jumping off point. Yeah. And I've been watching people debate this of, you know, well, they both squared up for a fight, and these are the consequences of getting in a fight, and so just don't square up for a fight, and you know, basically it's kind of almost a got what they deserve. And this is where I go back to this callousness and savagery that it's why I connected to a disconnect from the Father above and the Father here on earth. Many people have adopted a very feminist attitude that I don't care who's, these are two little girls. Yeah. If it doesn't strike you just as a man or just as a human being, like girls fighting this violently, that always troubles me at a much higher level than when I see boys fighting. Call me sexist, call me an old man, but I don't like to see women fight. Mm-hmm. I certainly don't like to see little girls fight. And then when I see a lack of emotional control and no mercy within a fight, I mean, it just takes it to a whole new level. And so I just, am I wrong? I know I'm not, but what are you, Dave, I'll let you go here. But just, I hold men and women to different standards. And when women fight, it hits me completely different than men. And again, I think the fact that we've kind of lost that and we're trying to apply some kind of brutal standards, and this, and I know I'm rambling, but this goes back to, I always say, men take bullets. We should make the sacrifices. There used to be a tradition. Women didn't go to war, men did. If there's going to be death involved, we'll do it. Let's protect their womb. They got a whole different role in society, and we've just abandoned all of that. Dave, hop in here.
I'm trying not to explode. This is Jason, you're not wrong, but the world has changed in such a way. When you say two girls fight, what is a girl? We have a Supreme Court justice, the highest court of the land, that doesn't even know what a woman is. So this is par for the course. This is where we should be. If we don't know what a woman is, what is a girl? We have mothers who are pregnant with their child that take them to an assassin to murder them before they are born. And the cruelty of a fight between two girls, which we don't know what a girl is a thing that we expect people to be able to figure out that this is wrong. The cruelty and the insanity of the new anthropology of a human being is absolutely insanity. It's insane. Idols always destroy the hearts of their worshipers. And when we worship false idols, they are cruel to us. So the fact that we are in this situation where nobody understands, like, hey, maybe there should be, I don't know, some sort of standard when you're facing somebody that acknowledges humanity. We can't even get mothers to acknowledge the humanity of their own children in their womb. What do we expect for other people outside of the womb? I mean, we're not in a place where we are exactly where we're supposed to be in this current culture and society. Matter of fact, I'm surprised that the girl didn't scalp her at the end of it all. That's where we're at. That's the situation we're at. It is crueler than what we even could imagine. But that's what idols do. And this is, I want to go back to what Anthony was saying. I think this all ties together. One of the things that in James he talks about is, you adulterous generation, When the Bible talks about an adulterous generation, it's talking about the fact that you have gone whoring after other gods. The reason that you're fighting and bickering is idolatry is the biggest problem. You don't have worship right. You worship false gods, and those false gods have a different taxonomy of how the world works. Why are we here? False worship. That false god says, this person isn't human anymore because they didn't give me what I want, and now my new victimhood status allows me to treat that person any kind of way I want. I'm justified until I get what I want. We are exactly where we should. We should be even worse because of the idolatry that we've submitted ourselves to. Okay, I'm trying to settle down.
when I heard what you were saying, Jason, about the fight, you used terms like, you know, man, woman. Okay, that comes from somewhere. You talked about roles like as a man, and I think women as a woman. Okay, that comes from scripture. You talked about mercy. Okay, that comes from scripture. Like we can't get any of those tenets unless we go back to the word. And so if we remove that relationship with God, we remove an understanding of scripture, we're going to lose what roles are. When we hear the term equality, we typically think of that as, hey, you're equal in all parts, meaning you are, hey, we can put, you're interchangeable, right? But when we look at what the Bible says, yeah, you're equal in value, but you're unique in your roles. There are things that he made you as a man to have a desire for. He made you to lead. He made you courageous. He made you a risk taker. He makes you a conqueror, a mother. He makes you a nurturer, a lover, one that tends to lean towards grace and mercy and all that. And you put that together, and you have a powerful unit of man and woman, and you produce that. But if a child doesn't get to see, wait a minute, as I grow up, I see how a man leads, et cetera. I see how a woman, no, now we've got women who are, hey, I can do whatever a man does. And what happens in that is you end up taking on these qualities that are not designed for you. You're not supposed to be barbaric. You're not supposed to be conquering. You're not supposed to be, yeah, I'm going to square up with you. I'm going to square up. Like, where is this coming from? It's not coming from how God designed man and woman. And so this whole idea, again, when we take ourselves away from God, these are the byproducts of that.
I'm going to share a tweet that was sent to me, not to demonize this person, because this person came at me, I think, sincerely seeking understanding and a stronger depth of knowledge or discussion about this. He calls himself the stable centrist, and he tweeted at me, and this is because I tweeted out what my opening monologue or fire starter today, I had tweeted that out third Wednesday morning. And then so he responded to my tweet, I understand your theory of the victim mentality and the lack of closeness to Christ is the root of the issue. I wish that the answer was that simple too. However, when I read the Bible, I learned humans have been killing each other since there were only four of them created on earth. No one said Cain was fed a steady diet of victimization. I have seen firsthand the evils and violence mankind is capable of in the name of religion, too. I have also seen the love we are capable of as humans. Sir, I think if you do believe what is in the Bible, you will understand that what we are witnessing these days is the unavoidable prophecy that is written informing us that we are destined to create more death and destruction to each other. Changing people's mindsets about being a victim will not change what was foretold to be ahead for mankind. Again, if you truly believe what is in the Bible, just my opinion, I could be wrong. Y'all's thoughts?
There's a lot to unpack with that. So when he talks about there's been murder, people killing each other from even the time that it was just four of them, I need him to understand that, one, this is because of Cain's relationship with God. His relationship with God was off. When God rejected his offering, Cain loses sight of everything and takes Abel's life. Number two, this was not God's authorized path for Adam and Eve. Sin was not authorized for any of them. So sin begets this. This is a result of sin. And as he's talking about some kind of prophecy about where we're going to be producing more death, if we choose the path of sin, absolutely, we will continue on to death, death, and more death. That's what happened before the flood, and it happens even after the flood. However, there is one that God sent into this world, his only begotten Son, who begs us to choose life. And if we choose him, he says, I'll give you life, and you'll have it more abundantly. There is a path to death, and there is a path to life. So I hear what he's trying to say when he talks about, I tried the Bible. I don't want you to read it like a newspaper. It can't be consumed like that. This has to be studied. This has to be understood within its context. If you read it and study it and understand what the Spirit has to tell you, you'll understand that God is not wanting us to die. He wills that we all be saved. I want everybody to be saved, all men to be saved and have life and have it more abundantly.
Hey, before you hop in, I just want to say part of my reaction when I read his response was like, man, he's stuck in the Old Testament and perhaps is unaware of the New Testament. And that was part of my gut reaction is like, he want to go back to Cain and Abel. He doesn't want to talk about Jesus Christ and all of that. Anyway, your reaction to the guy's tweet.
Well, first, I'm gonna act like Virgil and just say about Pastor Anthony, that boy right there good. Back there, that boy, Pastor Anthony, boy, he be coming. I just wanted to give y'all a little Virgil. I just
wanted y'all to go again. I know.
That's just what Virgil would have said.
Knock is my guy.
Since I'm in his seat, I got to act a little bit like him. But I do want to say this, Jason. Had he been reading the Old Testament, he still could have gotten the point that Pastor Anthony is saying. When you go, I'm not going to go too deep here, but I just want to say this. When you go through the Bible and you look at the first five books of the Bible, you got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and then you have Joshua. I want you to think about this in the same way as creation. You have the creation days. You have six creation days, right? You have the first, second, third, and then so Genesis is the first day, Exodus is the second day. Think about it like this, okay? And think about all those books leading up to the sixth day, which is a conquest. Joshua is a book of conquest. It's a conquering. Joshua goes forth and lays waste to all the enemies of Israel, gets into the new world. They pass over the Jordan, and they take the ground, right? And then you get to the book of Judges. And by the time you get to Judges, what we have in the book of Judges is decreation. Everything goes south because what Moses told them in his song, what Joshua told him at the end of his book in his life is when you get to this place, don't forget God. Now, if you're thinking about this holistically, and you're thinking about what's going on, we have a whole narrative from Genesis where we have Adam falls, God comes through, he has a chosen person for himself, Enoch, we have successes and failures, and we have then Joshua, the promise, victory, taking over the land. The God is back with his people and tabernacling with his people, and then he tells them again, don't forget God, right? Just like Adam did. So Judges comes, and we have a falling away, so much so that by the time we get to the end of the book, we have a Levite priest who has a concubine that he avoids going to the secular nations to rest. Instead, he goes to his own nation to rest, the tribe of Benjamin. And the worst thing that he expected to happen at the secular nation happens at his own nation with his own people. They come out and want to sleep with him. And instead, he gives up his concubine who he went to go get. And they killed her. They ravished her so bad. And what he did was he took her body and he chopped her up into 12 pieces and sent her off to the tribes. This is all decreation stuff. This is not creation. We're falling apart because we've forgotten God. And what he was doing was saying, listen, this is not supposed to happen, and everybody in Israel is responsible. And the man of Israel, and this is my point, they all cried out and said, when has anything ever this bad happened in Israel? So there was a time of victory, a time of peace, a time of conquering. The children of Israel are not slaves anymore. No one is destroying them. And yet, Judges, they all fall apart before they forget God. What happens in time and space is this covenantal reality. People forget God. God comes in and saves them. They repent. They start restoring the nation once again. God blesses it over time. And then a generation comes after that that forgets God. And then they go back down to decreation once again, and it comes back up. This is the issue isn't about the time frame between now and Old Testament. The issue is about covenant faithfulness over time. Covenant faithfulness over time breeds success. Covenant unfaithfulness over time breeds failure. So the question is not what era we're in, it's how faithful have we been? Because that's all that really matters. We are going to get, look, the Deuteronomic blessings in Deuteronomy 28 apply to us today. If you forget God, your land will be cursed. Your animals will not be much. Your womb will be cursed. Your harvests will be cursed. You will be cursed.
Your children will beat each other
That's right.
into the concrete pavement.
That's exactly right.
If you reject God, and I'm liking what Knox is pointing out, interesting point. Jesus' name, Yahshua,
that's right.
comes from Joshua. When God is thinking of all these names for his own son, he names him Joshua. Just a little tidbit. But I love the point that Knox makes about what Joshua said after they get into the new land. They get into the new land, and Joshua is standing up, and he's like, I can't believe you all are still thinking about the gods that you served over there. He said, but I tell you what, if you want to serve those gods that God you saw defeat, you want to serve those gods, he said, that's on you. He says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Where are the men now who can look back over society, who look at videos like that to say, oh my goodness, we have failed at what we're supposed to do with our kids and with the generations. We have failed. Some people are going to choose that lifestyle. There's a whole path that Hollywood and celebs and all, if that's the path that you want to take, where the ideal goals is Beyonce and Jay-Z, like if that's the path, look at where it will lead you. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord.
So I'm not going to read this other text I got from a guy named Brad, but it was along the same lines of like, Jason, you're naive. This level of demonic energy or whatever, it's all foretold. And there's almost like a inference. The part of the thing I picked up from both of these guys that tweeted at me is like, it's like, man, you're naive. This evilness is foretold in the Bible. Nothing you can do about it. And so what is y'all's reaction to that? Just like, hey, just kick back and lay back with it. You know, take care of your own self, but ignore it, you know, because there's nothing you can do about it. It's been written, it's been prophesized in the Bible. You know, we're going to become more and more depraved. And so just wait on Jesus. It seems that's how I interpreted some of the feedback I got.
I'll say this briefly. There are some that actually take that perspective, even in the world of Christendom.
Yes.
To just say, hey, this is it. I tend to look back at God's pattern. So even when Israel, Old Testament, and I'm leading up to New, but even as Israel would go through that cycle of we get back with you, God, you saved us, you redeemed us, we'll follow your rules for a little bit and we fall off. And there were times that God is like, look, I'm going to let these other nations come in and just rob and just ransack you guys. But his pattern also held within it, there was always a remnant. There was always a remnant of folk who, no matter how bad it got, we're going to hold on to truth. And that's the pattern that leads into the next generation, that gives you that, hey, it can get as bad, but if we remain faithful, it will work. So that I hear that. I reject it just because of looking at what Scripture is going to entail. And if you, depending on your eschatology, you look at Revelation, in the end, he wins. So I'd rather be on the winning team.
Dave, as a Calvinist, I'm interested in your response because, you know, part of y'all is like, hey, man, there's certain people that are going to make it and there's certain that are not. And if I'm misrepresenting anything,
well, everybody
tell
believes
me,
that.
Your reaction, huh?
Everybody believes there's certain people going to make it and certain people not. So I think there's that the only thing that I don't want to get on this necessarily, but there's a topic to be had there. But ultimately, we're just asking who's sovereign over everything. Is it the individual or is it God? And I always am going to say God's sovereign over everything. So, and when I say everything, the decrees of God are his eternal purpose according to the counsel of his own will, whereby for his own glory he has foreordained everything that comes to pass. He is the sovereign one. He is the one who is in control of everything. And here's the scary thing. If God is not in control of everything, we're in trouble. So that's the only options we have. It's either God's in charge or we're in charge. But as it relates to people's doom and gloom about the future, I don't know if they've read the Gospels. Jesus rose from the dead. He's defeated the devil and Satan. He's not going to win. He's already won. And the reason you know he's already won is because he told you that. He said all authority in heaven,
all power,
and on earth has been given to me. By the way, if Jesus has not won, then we can't share the gospel with any authority. If Jesus has not won, then Pastor Anthony's authorship as a pastor can't be a true governing body as the church. All authority has been given to him. No other demon, no other power in this world, no other idol has any power or authority anymore. The new Adam has come and restored the world and is making his seed go forth through his bride, the church. That is what's taking place. And so what people tend to do is they run to Timothy and they say, hey, man, in the last days, men are going to wax worse. Things are going to get bad. They're going to become lovers of self. They're going to be tearing up everything and things are going to go to bad. But they don't finish reading the verse in Timothy. Paul is telling Timothy that in your time, his last days, things are going to get worse. And he tells Timothy what to do when things get worse. And this is going to tie back into James. He says, but you, Timothy, when men go crazy, you remember the word that I told you. And you function in that way. And therein, the people who are waxing worse, therein will be like Jannes and Jambres. Well, who were those people? They were the ones who came to Moses when Moses went to Pharaoh and his serpent, Moses' serpent, ate theirs. That's what it looks like in the end time. Our victory will conquer them as they wax worse and try to persecute us. We are the victorious one, so we go forth and proclaim the gospel. And so what does James tell us to do? If you want to have victory over this, submit yourself to God. That's number one. And then resist the devil. That's the plan.
Boom.
Dave, you did a good job. Might invite you back. Had you mixed in any praise of me, I would have guaranteed your return, but you and Virgil, y'all got y'all's little habit. Everything you said was stupid, but at least you lost some weight. Thank you, Dave. We'll play some harmony, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.
So divided, stop fighting and stand tall. We used to be a nation, one united. Now we're headed for downfall. God, let your light shine down. What we need more than anything now, harmony. Let's make a simple vow. Let's come together now. Harmony. Put all your weapons down. Love one another now. Time for us to wake up. Choose love, my sister, my brother. See through the lies they tell us. Cause together we're so much stronger. God, let your light shine down. What we need more than anything now. Harmony. Let's make a simple vow. Let's come together now. Harmony. Put all your weapons down. Now, harmony. Na, 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 na.
get to me. Open up your eyes.